Even a casual fan of the Olympics can see that feeling of accomplishment in the athlete who stands on the podium holding up his or her gold medal for the world to see. It's a capstone moment and a glorious end to 4 years of rigorous training, discipline, pain, and fatigue. All the suffering, all the struggle, all the grit is ultimately worth getting that precious medal draped around the neck. You also don't have to be an Olympic caliber athlete in order to know what it's like to struggle for a prize, because every Christian does it. When Jesus is asked the question, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" His answer is this: "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Strive, says Jesus. This word also means to engage in a contest, fight, and struggle. The Christian must fight, must struggle, and must engage in the contest of making it through the narrow door. Many will seek to enter, but they won't be able. This raises questions. What is this fight Jesus is talking about? Why does he use the word strive to enter the narrow door? And why do so many fail when seeking to enter the narrow door, as Jesus says? As for who gets in and who gets out, one might say it's the one who does the most good deeds who gets in, while those who fail in doing good works are denied. Others might say that those who have really nasty, wicked sins are the ones who are barred from heaven, while the ones who haven't committed the gross public atrocities enter the narrow door. The problem with both of these bad suggestions is they make entrance through the door based on a person's ability to keep God's law. And if salvation is based on works of the law, then I say unto you, the atonement of Jesus is for nothing. It always contradicts the gospel to say salvation, entrance to heaven, comes by way of man's ability to please God by our works. For we are all filled with sin. We all struggle with sin and temptation. The contest, the fight, the struggle, the striving is to be faithful and to believe in Jesus, that he has indeed paid for your sin, and that you are indeed forgiven richly by his sacrifice at the cross for you. Addictions, temptations, doubts plague all of us. Our fight, our struggle every day as baptized believers is having faith in God above all things. We fight and struggle to believe that we are sinners redeemed by Christ and his saving work. We fight and we struggle to know that we need to hear his word every day, and that we need holy baptism and the promises therein every day. And we fight and struggle to convince ourselves that we need the Lord's Supper as often as we can get it. Our sinful flesh rages against the gifts of God, and it makes for a terrible struggle, Christian, between the old man, the sinful flesh, and the new man in Christ. Whenever Confirmation Sunday rolls around, I always try to make a point in warning the confirmands about falling away from the faith. Satan wants you. Satan wants to snatch you from Christ. He wants you for himself. And my warning is not unfounded, because I, and I'm sure many of you, are aware of that confirmand who went to class, aced the test, said amen on Confirmation Sunday, only to stop attending church once he or she entered high school, and sometimes they never come back. When Jesus says strive to enter the narrow door, there is a warning in his words, isn't there? The warning not to be lazy in our lives as Christians, because our competition isn't with flesh and blood, but Satan himself. Satan desires you for his kingdom, and he will stop at nothing to have you. So pay attention to yourselves, Christian, and your God. Strive, fight, struggle. Repent every day. Hear God's word every day. And pray to your God every day that he protects you, preserves you, and keeps you in his steadfast love and in the faith that he gives you through the hearing of his word. Pray these things. And trust in your baptism, knowing that God means what he says. And in baptism, you really are united to him, and your sin really is washed, all of it, on account of Christ, who is your access to heaven. It is nothing but a tragedy when a catechized Christian falls from the faith. But Jesus' words in the gospel lesson this morning aren't just for the lapsed. His warning is for the churchgoer as well. Because it is true that there are those who have great church attendance, yet they never grasp and never believe what Jesus is actually saying. When Jesus is preaching, he does not shy away from warning his very own hearers about them being locked out of the kingdom. He says this, "When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out." By my count, 9 times Jesus uses the word "you" when warning his hearers that not everybody gets in. Even some of those who hear the word of God and eat and drink in his presence. Kind of sounds like there he's talking about his holy supper. When we gather in the presence of God and receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Who is Jesus' audience? Who's he talking to? There were always the Pharisees hanging around Jesus. You know, the religious elites who boasted in their works. They could quote the Old Testament off the top of their head, and yet they missed God as he stood before them in the person of Jesus. There was the typical Jew who heard Jesus, those who boasted in their bloodline, claiming Jewish descent. They were children of Abraham. But my friends, pious works and bloodlines do not save. And it goes without saying that our Lord also speaks to us. The good Lutheran doesn't get in just because they've been one their whole life, have good church attendance, and have served on a number of boards. Those things do not cut it. They save no one. They do not take away sin. Striving to enter the narrow door is the exact opposite of boasting of your works and affiliations. It means despairing of your flesh, repenting before God, and confessing you are a sinner in need of his grace. God demands faith, and God gives faith. Two important scriptural truths that we mustn't forget. Friends in Christ, people of God, strive. Fight for the narrow door. In other words, live by faith in Jesus. Go to church, receive all of his gifts, not out of pomp or entitlement, but knowing you are a beggar who approaches God as you are able, and that is in his name, a name God puts upon you in holy baptism, his name, his seal, calling you his own, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's his name. It's the name of Christ, and it is by that name that you enter God's house, and that name, my friends, belongs to you by faith. Faith justifies. Faith gets you in. Because faith clings to Jesus, and Jesus says he will take you from this valley of sorrow to be with himself. Jesus will always bring you through the door because he has given his sacred flesh for all of your sin. And in him you are washed, in him you are redeemed. The news is that good. Friends, in your struggles, in your fights, in your battles with sin, temptation, and even that scary prospect of eternal death, there can be that feeling of wanting to quit, to throw in the towel, even if that means taking your very own life. There are those of you who struggle with great physical pain every day and mental pain. Some of you have bouts with depression, guilt, and shame over the secret sins you have committed. Some of you have private addictions that you struggle with, and nobody knows it but you and God. You strive every day just to have faith, and it is hard. By your own strength and by your own merit, you're like one of the many. Those who seek to enter, but they are not able. The many that Jesus talks about are always those who trust in something else to get them in. May it be riches, good works, affiliation with a particular group, or even the type of blood in your veins. But friends, hear me on this. For the baptized believer in Jesus, your reliance is upon him. It is upon God's strength, his mercy, his grace, and his rich, steadfast love. By these things, the door is open, and it cannot be shut. By the very blood shed at Calvary, you are guaranteed a spot at God's table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the eyes of the world, you may seem like the very least, weak, poor, filled with struggles just to live, but in Christ, it is always, always, always a different story. In Christ, you are already rich. You are already victorious. You are already one who possesses a place at the table reserved for you. So the struggles, the fights, the battles with Satan, and the temptations that he ushers into your life, they're all worth the crown God has laid up for you. The prize of eternal life in heaven belongs to God's children, those he died to redeem, those to whom he has bestowed faith. In Christ Jesus, the prize is yours. In Christ Jesus, your prize, your crown, cannot be taken away from you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.